Hey folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Richard Bergeron.
Agent for
Tornado Tech and Pesco. And second contact with brand new deck of tarot cards. Tell us everything we need to know. Alright, this is not a joke. First news story of the day, Mike Tyson has gone to pot. Literally. It's all over the news. Mike Tyson has taken full advantage of the legalization of pot in California. He's got involved in a huge site, manufacturing, growing, everything. He is Dr. Marijuana now, basically. So, just a crazy story that came over the news waves this week. Everybody couldn't stop talking about it, but... You know, if you follow the Trump administration, you also know that the Attorney General just decided that they're not going to lay off some of these states that are violating federal law with marijuana stuff. So Mike Tyson's going to really have to watch out, especially if he's got any probation issues left to deal with for his other offenses. He might have to campaign extra hard for Trump in 2020 to get out of trouble if he gets into it. But, yeah, that would be funny. A big beef between him and Trump. But anyway, that's in the news. We also had a big UFC card, UFC 219. Women's main event went all five rounds. It wasn't epic, but... definitely shows strategy wins fights, and that Christian Justino there is the real deal. I don't have the box racks right in front of me. I could only open one window at a time without worrying about smashing down my system here. Got limited capacity tonight. Thank God for my cell phone. Finally sprung for a cell phone that cost more than $15. Although now I'm addicted to Words with Friends. That's what happens, I guess. But, yeah, UFC 219 went down December 30th. We missed the show last week as well. I forgot to mention that because of a gigantic snowstorm. That I was digging out from, so I just decided, we're going to put it off for a week. Not a lot happening. But this fight was billed as pretty epic. You know, it was supposed to be a pretty big fight. It's really Chris Justino's first big main event in forever. And that was against a meaningful challenger. But I was really, really disappointed with Holly Holm, especially after watching Carlos Condit's strategy do nothing for him. Holly Holm coming in from what is supposed to be the best mixed martial arts gym in the country, if not the world. You know, they're supposed to be known for creating champions here. I think they're slipping because they did not give her the right strategy, or they didn't train the right way to deal with Chris Justino. And I'm not an expert by any means, but I watched that fight and I'm sitting there telling myself, if I'm coaching Holly Holm, I'm telling her, do not get within her reach, period. The only thing that you have against Justino is your legs. That's the only thing you have to defend yourself. Use your kicks. Maybe throw a jab if she gets too close, but forget about your boxing for a little while and kick the fuck out of her. Kick her legs, kick her belly, kick her head. Kick her every time she gets near you, and you'll be fine. Because basically that's pretty much Justino mixed it all together, but I mean, Justino did that to Holm a lot, kicked her in the leg. But really, really punished her on the inside when Holly decided, all right, well, I'm the better boxer, so I'm going to wade in there and take what you can give to try to land my stuff. But, you know, when you have that much of a disadvantage strength-wise, the only thing that she had advantage in was she has longer legs and she's taller. So, forget about it. I mean, use your jab if you're going to box, but do not get in close with this lady. And I don't think they told her that enough or got that through to her or trained that enough with her, but...
You know,
The leg kicks alone could have won that fight. Could have busted Justino's front leg and would have made her useless.
Yeah, that really begs the question, what's happened there with Jackson Winklejohn? What has happened there? There's been all types of threads on that about this 25 losing streak for big names. And is Jackson just not there that much now? Something's changed. You know, maybe it's just a bad streak, but this is becoming a pattern.
We got Psychic Tom and Slacker Tom in the background.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom didn't like that joke. There he is. Anyway. And then we had a totally one-sided co-main event here that made you wonder what the heck is going on with all that smack talk Edson Barboza talked. He was pretty much on the verge of a mercy stoppage by the end of this fight. I think even one of the announcers was saying, geez, you know, you got to stop this. This is ridiculous. But again, I mean, you see these fights and you see these guys go all three rounds and it's one guy dominating the action, and this is supposed to be a co-main event fight. This is supposed to be a very good matchup, and it's a dud. You know, you gotta wonder how many of these the UFC can really deal with for your main events.
Well, you have to admit, though, theoretically and on paper, it was a good matchup.
Yeah.
Until it started.
Until it started.
I hadn't read the script. I mean, I think Conor McGregor's doing a lot of looking at this guy.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, maybe Paulie Marginale looks pretty good here now. Manny Pacquiao. You know, he has to be thinking something about it. I mean, that was a beatdown. And Barboza showed all the courage in the world to keep hanging in there. But you could tell, if you see that fight, Rich, you could tell in the first round how Barboza just started to get that look like, oh, wow.
Oh, jeez, I'm dealing with this dude tonight. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have the other dude.
It was just a whole other leap. I mean, it was just almost like a Class A baseball player all of a sudden in the major leagues now. It's just, wow. Yeah. And Barboza had earned that opportunity.
Some of those punches that he took to the bridge of his nose, I mean, if I was the referee, I would have stopped the fight. It was just brutal.
And especially when you've got this monster mounting you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough to get hit when you're on your feet. That doesn't tickle at all, but at least maybe you can move around a bit.
Yeah.
But the worst part of that is when you're being controlled by someone like that.
It's a perfect transition to let everybody know the referee of that fight was John McCarthy, and he probably won't be refereeing any more UFC fights because he's now going to be an announcer for Bellator. And he's virtually retired from refereeing as well, but he's going into the announcing booth, so that's pretty much an alignment directly with the competition of the UFC, which will very much piss them off, I'm sure. But I'm very looking forward to that. I'm really... really psyched about that. But our former guest of ours, though, got the axe as a result of that, I believe, or in lieu of that, going into that move. Jimmy Smith, one of our best guests, fast talking, very accurate, and had written that book with the creator of the UFC at the time, so it was a great interview. We'll have to replay that sometime when we don't have a guest, just for shits and giggles. But great stuff. And so John McCarthy, yes, Big John, leaving the referee job. But yeah, there's plenty of up and coming guys that can step up. Frank Trigg, probably going to be one of them. Saw him in the cage not too long ago. But yeah, Khabib probably should have been hauled off of Edson a little bit sooner. John McCarthy is a great referee, but, you know, at some point you just gotta think, you know, what good does it do to let this fight continue? And is this guy gonna be really that upset if I stop it?
Then, too, let's not absolve the corner for responsibility.
Yeah.
They could stop him also. It's not just the referee. It's not just on the referee.
Right.
The corner can do it. They know, they're supposed to know their fighter. I mean, how many times have we seen this go bad?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not like you get paid per round. Right?
Yeah.
Well, here goes Tommy. He's taking a shit. We're in trouble. Sometimes he's a silenced assassin, sometimes he's loud. Anyway, we also had Dan Hooker, got a submission win over Mark Diachiese by guillotine choke. That was 42 seconds into the third round. Carla Esparza got a unanimous decision over Cynthia Calvillo. That won all three rounds there. And as I mentioned earlier, Carlos Condit, training out of the same place as Holly Holm, got sort of beaten up there a little bit by Neil Magny. And just didn't have the edge he used to have. He just didn't have the snap on his punches, the ability to put together. He was throwing a lot of spinning maneuvers in the end, and dynamic stuff that seemed to work late in the fight, but it really wasn't knockout material and really wasn't going to make him erase the deficit. So, I mean, you got to give him credit for still doing it, but at the same time, you wonder, you know, if you can't compete with a guy like Neil Magny and make it close, you know, is it worth sticking around?
Yeah, I think Magny's certainly no cheap date, so like you say, but that was just, I don't know if that Lawler fight took so much out of Robbie. I mean, he's been through so many wars. I mean, going back to his days in the WBC, and the body can only take so much of that. I mean, look what's happened to Robbie Lawler lately. And I just don't know. I mean, Carlos seemed like he was mentally prepared for this, but
kind of wonderful. Yeah. And we had three other unanimous decisions on the undercard. Michael Oleksijuk beating Khalil Roundtree. Miles Jury beating Rick Glenn. Mateus Nicolau Pereira beating Luis Smoka. All by unanimous decision there. And then we had a majority draw between Marvin Vettori and Omar Akhmedov. Very rare occurrence there. And the first fight of the night was an anaconda choke submission in the second round. Tim Elliott over Mark De La Rosa. And we do have one fight coming up, I believe. On the 14th. A fight night. But what's going on in boxing, Tony? Do you have
We got a show coming up in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks. I just got the announcement a few days ago. Friend of ours, former guest, Hank Lundy, is going to take on another former guest of ours and a world title. I know at least a challenger. I'm not sure if he was a world champion. I think he was. DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley. So, I mean, that ought to be an interesting little affair. That's mid-February down at the 2300 Arena. And I'm trying to see, there hasn't, been a whole lot on, with, the new year. So we had, two pretty uneventful weeks. So I'm just going on BoxRec right now to see if we have anything good coming up in the pipeline for this weekend. You know, aside from our, NFL playoffs that, both of our teams are involved in.
Yeah, I do the FanDuel stuff. I took a week off last week. I decided to reevaluate my approach. but I actually do better on the ones where you have less choices, less games. Because there's only so many superstars to pick from. You know, and you just basically have to guess the two or three that are going to come out and explode. And
right.
One thing I learned only halfway through the season is that a lot of it has to do with the guy that you pick that's going to get the 20, 30 points that nobody else is going to pick. Or very few people are going to pick and then pick the other stars that are going to do what they're supposed to do. So it's all about the two or three guys that nobody's going to see. They're totally flying under the radar. Like Josh Gordon, his first couple weeks, to name one of Tom's bright spots of the year for the Cleveland team. Even though you guys had a parade. Josh Gordon, when he came back, I read that, you know, you got to start starting him. And he produced right away.
And, you know, speaking of that parade, there's always, because I'm not a football guy, but I did have to watch that. They had it on live.
That's funny.
And there's always that retard in Speedos. I think the temperature was single digits. And this is by Lake Erie. Well, you guys, you know, you're from the cold. Yeah. I don't have to explain what that's like. And so this moron had some kind of boots on, Speedos, and ridiculous hat, and I think his sign said, "I'm stupid." And then they had a big bin. It was like a rolling latrine, and this guy was shooting toilet paper rolls as confetti. Yeah, it was the most interesting parade. The coach is going to jump in the lake.
Yeah.
But right now, Lake Erie is frozen. And I would strongly advise him to wait a little bit, because I don't know a lot about ice water, but I know when you get underneath, one of those currents gets you and it's frozen, look out. So.
Well, they usually, when they do that, they cut a pretty big spot in the lake for people to jump in and then jump right out.
I would hope so. And some of the fans are very, very nasty about the things they're saying. Tying a rope around his leg with a weight on it, I mean,
oh, geez.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
That's funny.
But, hey, you guys are from big cities, too, that are passionate about their sports. I'm sure the Philadelphia fans wouldn't be too happy about 0-16, would they, Tony?
No. Not at all. we're angry enough. We got the first seed.
The Patriots, I mean, the Patriots are pretty... Pretty much, it sucks because, you know, you're expecting the team to make the playoffs every year. I mean, it's just like a guarantee now, but at the same time, we paid our dues, because back in the 80s when we had friggin' Doug Flutie and Grogan as our quarterback, I mean, we really went nowhere. We got to the Super Bowl once in 85, but then we got crushed, so... Yeah, it was a long time coming for us, but now it's like Belichick is secure in there, and he's got his system going, and he's able to get new guys every year to do it. We've been doing all right, so we don't really have to worry every year. But... Shut up, Tom. Jeez, buddy. We don't need to hear you 2 cents.
Friday night, and I want to break that down for you in the United States. Like I said, we don't have much going on this weekend. You know, I ran the box rack, and it was giving me a lot of cards. Like, in California, there's a show on tonight. Don't really know any of the guys here. Log back in. Box rack kicked me out. So, your main event's, and I think, an 8-rounder. So, nothing there. But tomorrow night... there is one show in Verona, New York, that seems pretty interesting. What we got here is a former guest of ours, Tori Shown Up Nelson from Baltimore, Maryland. She's 17-0 with 3 draws, and she is taking on the 2-time Olympic gold medalist, Clarissa Shields, who's 4-0. Yeah, that's going to be a really, really good fight. I followed Tori on Facebook, and she had some pictures posted from the weigh-in. Also on that card is a very good friend of mine, Garrett Wilson. And Garrett's, you know, one of those like Philadelphia guys, like, that he'll just go anywhere, he'll fight anyone, you know. And I know the one time he was on CBS a couple years ago, and he was fighting an undefeated guy. And he moved up in weight to fight him, and he was the one bringing the fight. The other guy was predicted to win by knockout, and Garrett was the one bringing the fight. And he said after the fight, they had their interview on him, he goes, "Look me at the crowd right now. You all want to see me again?" weekend, and everybody cheered for him. Except he's 18-13, one draw. You know, he's a short, stocky guy, like 5'8". He's fighting heavyweight, so you know he's going to be giving up a lot of height in this fight. And the guy he's fighting is a prospect, guy from Russia, big, ugly-looking guy, who's 6'5". And his last fight, he weighed 245 pounds. Garrett, who has fought from light heavyweight to heavyweight, is weighing in at 210, and he's 5'8". So he's given up right there about, I don't know, what, 9 inches in height and 35 pounds in weight against the guy that's 13-0-1 with 13 knockouts. So Garrett is going to be the underdog in this fight. But he's a guy that... a strong guy, he's a physical guy. I've watched him train. You know, his focus here, even though he's given up 9 inches in height, is he has to use the jab. He's a guy, Garrett, and like I said, I've watched him in fights that will get away from his jab. And for being a short guy, he has one of those Dwight Muhammad Cowie jabs where it's...
I was just picturing him.
Short, compact, but he's got that, like, hard, you know, not that feeling out jab, or not that setup jab, but that punishing jab.
Right, and it's longer than it should be, considering the guy's height. Exactly.
Now, you go back, and you, and a couple of fights that I'll bring up, because it was a perfect example, is you go back to the fights when Cowie won the light heavyweight title for Matthew Saad Muhammad back in the 80s, and when he first defended it against them, you know, that jab, really, you know, Saad had no answer for it. I mean, and it punished him. I mean,
it was the story. It was the story of the fight. Think about it.
Yeah, it really was. So I mean, he's got it there, and he's got to, you know, use that hard, ramming jab, you know, jab the guy in the chest, jab the guy in the shoulders. I love that, you know, hit the point of the shoulders, jab him there, you know, punch him on the arms, you know, you're going to have to take this guy and you're going to have to really physically, you know, decimate him, and that's the word I got to use, you're going to have to decimate him, but, you know, that's an, you know, interesting, you know, challenge. And that's what great about the sport of boxing is, that very word, challenge. So now I'm moving here to the 13th, which is Saturday, which is, you know, playoff Saturday. Got Netherlands here, Illinois, that's a small card there. Philippines, I'm going to go to the Philippines. Australia, hey, Anthony Mundine's fight. Anthony Mundine, who's been around since... probably,
season.
I don't know, Joe Lewis? No. 47-8, he's fighting Tommy Brown, who's 35-62 for the, you ready for this? Rich, here we go. We have a fight in Australia. I'm gonna get your guys' logic on this, because, I mean, I'm not the wisest guy in the world, so I need other people's logic sometimes. So we got Anthony Mundine, and he is from Australia, what is that? There we go. I'm getting,
pop-ups?
What do you call it? Advertising. Yeah. So, you got Mundine, who's from Australia. Been boxing pro for about 17 years now. Slightly less than Joe Lewis. So, you have this Australian guy who is a Muslim. And he is fighting a guy named Tommy Brown. And Tommy Brown is from also Australia. I don't know if he's a Muslim or not. They are fighting in Australia for the vacant WBO Oriental Middleweight Championship. So two Australians in Australia are fighting for the Oriental Middleweight Championship. Can someone, anyone, even play that?
Well, they must be making it.
It's because Chinese food is being served at the event. That's funny. Yeah,
That's boxing for you. Oriental.
Yeah. So let's see if we have anything else, you know, really cooking on the horizon there. That one just, you know, just caught my interest, and I had to, you know, make a laugh out of it. And Mundine, he's ugly, man. If you ever go on BoxRec and look at his picture, look like a mugshot. Mm-hmm. Guy that, like, you know, murdered his family.
Jesus.
Jeff Horn's been calling him out, by the way. And he watched that Jeff Horn fight.
Really? So, I mean, Jeff Horn, who beat Manny Pacquiao, what, 147?
Right.
So where would they have to meet? They'd have to do a catchweight on that. He's fighting at 147, and Mundine's fought as high as 168. I mean, that's... Now, he's fighting this one at middleweight. I mean, could he get down to maybe a junior middle for a catchweight, or would Horn jump up to...
I can't see him going down to 147. I mean,
that would
be brutal. So I imagine Horn would have to step up. There's been a lot of talk about, a lot of trash talk going here. I don't know if it's going to happen, but
right,
big frustration.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, I think Jeff Horn, right now, he ought to, you know, focus his two eyes and his two fists on the guy by the name of Terrence Crawford. Don't worry about anybody else, because you got possibly the number one pound-for-pound guy in the sport right now staring you down.
Yeah, so maybe Horn's looking at that mundane fight for the money, and then, it's kind of think about this Crawford situation, you know, but I guess when you have a belt, you really can't do that.
Yeah.
And, we got...
Well, you know, Horn hasn't been ducking him. I mean, he hasn't said he won't fight Crawford, but it just seems like this mundane fight seems to be the hot-button item.
Right.
We got Floyd Mayweather, too, sticking his nose in mixed martial arts, still talking smack against Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor doesn't know what the heck he's going to do next, it seems like. They keep saying he's going to go in the cage against, but then there's been demands made, and Dana White and him have been going back and forth, so... A lot of crazy stuff going on in the news. Also, as we mentioned before we got on the broadcast tonight, Vinny Paz is in a little legal trouble. Apparently, he was in an altercation with another guy over a $16,000 robbery that he claimed. The guy robbed him and bit the guy, punched him, showed up to court with two black eyes. And
what a
crazy story.
He knocked the guy's teeth out.
Knocked the guy's teeth out, yeah. And then he bit him just to say, this is what you're not going to be able to do anymore, buddy.
Yeah, right.
You know, you got to wonder about that. I mean, I would not want to get hit by Vinny Paz.
No.
And I don't think he would need his teeth when he has those two fists. I don't care if he's 70 or 80 years old.
Well, maybe at that point it had gotten to wrestling, and he just bit him at that point. He says, I don't like wrestling.
And you know what? You know, I mean, I figure all of us, we've all watched him, and I really followed his career, obviously. And, I mean, he had that big overhand right that, you know, was responsible for the knockouts of his good friend Dana Rosenblatt.
Rosenblatt.
He had this knockout over Melvin Paul. He used to call the punch the Melvin with the big overhand right. But Iceman John Scully, he used to always say, and he used to post it online a lot, with Vinny getting ready for a lot of Vinny's big fights, and he said his left hook to the body was just pure devastation. You know, it wasn't as famed as Mickey Ward's, but if you go back, and I had watched the fight not that long ago, his fight, they actually showed in the movie Bleed for this, when he fought Gilbert Delay to win the WBA junior middleweight title. It wasn't a second round knockout like they portray in the movie. It was a 12th round stoppage, but there's a point, and I think it was the second or third round, it might even been the second round, where he pinned Delay on the ropes, and he unleashed a was like, just, I mean, and he was, I mean, ripping him in there. I mean, you could almost see the guy pissing blood as these punches were landing. And, yeah, you're right. That's a guy, you know, yeah, he might be in his 50s now, but he actually just posted a few months ago a video of him hitting the bag, and he sent it to me, and he's like, ah, you know, I still got it. I'm like, hey, you really do, you know? But I actually am in contact a lot with one woman that does a lot of work from him. She helps do a lot of his promotional stuff, his brand of wine, Five Times Better Wine, which is symbolizing his, you know, five world titles. And, you know, he was getting a lot of flack for this, and he was being made as the bad guy. And she was like, no, TMZ's actually reporting it now. But this guy that he was trying to help out, basically trying to rob him of, you know, thousands of dollars. So, hey, there's two sides to every story. You don't know who this other guy is. You don't know what the other guy did. You don't know, you know, the whole backstory of it, except somebody got their ass kicked.
Yeah, I love well, Vinny's.
Tony, what is Vinny's version of the story? I haven't found that.
What's well, they only quoted him literally as saying, I was robbed at the court appearance, which made me kind of laugh because he probably said that after a few of his bad decisions.
Well, yeah.
In the ring. But that I mean, Tony like, sounds like he's got the story more than the ESPN guys do.
Yeah, well, I mean, so Vinny's walking down the street and this guy comes up and robs him? I mean,
his was like, he was helping this guy. This guy was, I don't know if a friend, but an associate, maybe. And I don't know if he was letting him stay in his house or if the guy was over his house. But the guy ended up, you know, either taking money or things equivalent to that amount. And it was like $16,000. So I don't know.
I see. So this idiot knows who Vinny is and still decides he's going to fight him. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you get caught in the act of doing something, you know what? Here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna get, you know, and the guy catches you. You're like a rat in a trap. It's like you're doing what? You SOB? Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna kick your ass, you know. And now it's like you either got fight or flight, and if there's nowhere to flight, take your beating.
Yep. And, the best thing is, not long after that story came out, I posted a blog on our website where Vinny is going to be the special guest at a boxing event coming up, so not slowing him down one bit in his personal appearance game, anyway.
No, I mean, he's still, I see posts, from himself and his publicist, and he's always in the middle of doing something. He's always out there. He's meeting people. I mean, the guy ought to run for office, to be totally honest.
Now, since we can't locate the broadcast that we had with him, we've got to get him back on the show one of these times, too. Before he ever has any CTE-related issues going on, we got to get him on there. Anyway, we got Fight Night coming up on the 14th from St. Louis, Missouri. We're up to 124 now. Jeremy Stevens versus Du Ho Choi. And Stevens is 26-14, been around a long time. So I'm out in Iowa myself when I first started Fight News Unlimited. He's fighting Du Ho Choi, who is 14-2. And a guy who I'm not sure what we're going to see out of him in the co-main event, Vitor Belfort. It's been sort of up and down, more down than up in his post-TRT days, but he is 26-13. Fighting Uriah Hall, who's 13-18, and is the guy responsible for the most devastating knockout in Ultimate Fighter history. Hands down.
But Hall's had his ups and downs, too.
Yeah,
he's going to be interesting. And I think Vitor's at that stage now where he does not want to lose this fight.
Right.
He does not need to lose this fight. I won't say he can't lose, but come on. You better win if you want to keep going.
And Paige VanZant, who was supposed to be a little rocket to the top, sort of had a couple of hiccups herself. She's fighting Jessica Rose Clark, who's 8-4. Paige is 7-3. This is more of a tune-up fight, I believe, for her. So look for her, for Paige to get another win there. I don't know much about Jessica Rose Clark, but just the 8-4 record tells me it's probably more of a let's see how competitive Paige is after she's learned her lessons from a couple tough fights. And then we've got Kamaru Usman, 11-1, fighting Emil Weber Meek, who is 9-2-1. That's not a very good name for a fighter. Last name, Meek. Maybe that's what got him picked on to start him as a fighter, but that's kind of funny. What's your name, Meek?
Fury is much better, wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Fury versus Meek. Who's going to win?
Meek against Fury, yeah. Getting on Fury on that one.
Then we have Michael the Menace Johnson, 17-12, fighting Darren the Damage Elkins, who is 23-5. So that should be a tough matchup there. And former guest of ours, James Krause, 24-7 coming in. First appearance, really, since the Ultimate Fighter episodes that he was on. He is fighting Alex White, who is 12-3, so a tough matchup there for him. And obviously, up-and-comer Alex White, he's got to beat him to prove that he belongs. So, really going to be a tough fight there for both guys. We got Marco Polo Reyes. He is not a game you play in the pool. He is a fighter. He's 7-4, fighting Matt Frivola, who is 6-0. Thiago Alves, way down on the card. Haven't seen him this far down in a long time. 22-11, fighting Zach Cummings, who is 21-5. Big records for being that low on the card. They must be like the leader of the preliminary card or something, being that far down. Jessica Ai, fighting Kalindra Faria. And here's some great records for female fighters here. Two in a row. It's three in a row, actually. Jessica is 11-6. Kalindra Faria is 18-6-1. So a lot of experience there in that fifth fight of the night. Then we got Talita Bernardo, female fight. He's 5-2, fighting Irene Aldana, who's 7-4. Third fight of the night, Danielle Taylor, 9-2, fighting J.J. Aldrich, who is 5-2. And then second fight, 19-10, Mike Santiago versus, there's a good name for a fighter, Mads Burnell, who is 8-2. And then first fight of the night, Kyung Ho Kang, 13-7, fighting Guido Canetti, 7-2. He must be Mexican with a name like that, huh? Guido, no, Italian. So that's about it for that. Since it is the first episode, technically, of the new year, too, we might as well have a quick little discussion about what do you think is going to happen this year in combat sports. So, from my perspective, we got a lot going on with the UFC trying to get into boxing. We've still got the idea with Floyd Mayweather floating the idea of getting into the UFC. I don't think it'll ever happen, but, you know, he could work with them in boxing. They supposedly did have a meeting between Dana White and Floyd Mayweather about boxing. But it makes me wonder, like, how serious is Dana White going to be? How many of his fighters is he going to let box? And how is that going to handicap what he's got going on with the UFC? And then if these guys get into boxing, how long is it going to take for them to go to another promoter who's going to pay them better? And how much of a foothold can the UFC get in the world of boxing when, you know, how much did it take for the guys with Premier Boxing Champions to get in there? Al Haymon, and all those guys. They had to raid a friggin' a pension fund company, basically, like a major investment deal, hundreds of millions of dollars to get in that headlining spot and get all those fighters under contract. And they had to give up a lot of stuff for free. And how much gain have they gotten back? Probably not a lot. So, I mean, you've got those kind of players in there, and you're going to try to stick your nose in it. I don't know. Good luck, I said. I think the UFC is going to lose a lot of money in the year 2018 if they really go too heavy into it. But I'm interested to see if they do go into it, if they take it seriously, and they do put a lot of their good guys, like Stipe Miocic, I think could beat a lot of the best heavyweights in the United States right now. I don't know about Deontay Wilder, but I'd love to see Stipe Miocic versus Anthony Joshua, or you know the one that Joseph Parker, the guy that's securing the next Anthony Joshua fight. It would be great. Those are the kind of crossover fights we
see. I'd like to see him get a few tune-ups first. Yeah. If it's going to be pure boxing, I think Stipe's 6-0 is a pro boxer, but he's going to need a little more before he makes that leap.
And I don't think we ever actually got this on officially recorded, but my idea about CM Punk versus Floyd Mayweather in the octagon, I hope they start seriously thinking about that now that I came up with it as a joke. That might sell. I mean, that really would get a lot of people interested, and it wouldn't be too much of a risk for Floyd, I don't think.
Well, if that sells, I mean, I know this empire is declining. And this from all my worst views, if we're sinking faster than Rome, you got to be kidding me. But, you know, who knows? You may be right. That could get the crossover crowds. Well, bread and circuses. Oh, the decline of the empire.
But Stipe also has a fight coming up on the 20th. I really would love to be there. It's in Boston. Not sure if it's going to pan out that way, whether I'm going to have the money in place to get the tickets and the room and all that. But, yeah, it's coming up fast. And I'm predicting he's going to win already. I don't even have to really analyze his stats or anything because, I mean, when you knock out a guy like Verdum and you're backpedaling, and you can come up with enough strength to knock a guy that size out. This guy coming at him, I mean, he's really, it doesn't.
Well, what I found interesting, Daniel Cormier, if you remember going into the Anthony Johnson fight, Anthony Johnson wasn't just knocking people out. He was doing it in the first 30 seconds and they were staying down for a while. You remember
right.
Some of those frightening knockouts he had. And Cormier came up with the game plan. Cormier predicts Stipe is going to win just based on technique and game plan. And there are so many question marks about Nagamo. Again, we know from the history of boxing, a lot of times you get these big monsters and that where's the cardio at? I mean, early on, anything can happen. But I think Stipe's always really kept his emotions in check. He's where he needs to be physically and mentally. And just get him into, I mean, well, who knows? We haven't seen Nagamo's chin tested either. So there's a lot of question marks here, but I agree. My prediction is end still.
Yeah, Ohio has to keep its only world championship, right?
Gotta have something. Indians can't make it to the World Series. I think Cavs don't look too good this year. And, the football team, or what football team? So,
Yeah, we got to say thanks for Kyrie Irving there in advance of our playoffs. Jesus, that guy. When he was kicking our ass last year, I said to myself, oh, if the Celtics would love to have a guy like him, I mean, he could just really help us out a lot. And I really wasn't a basketball fan. You know, I always watched during the playoffs. My mother was a huge basketball fan. She has actually collections, my sister still has, of the glasses when they won all the world titles, the banners and everything that are in the Boston Garden now, TD Garden. My mother followed them at that point and knew a couple players that were very obscure players, but she knew them personally. And so she had glasses of every year they won, like commemorative glasses and everything. But I always watch in the playoffs, and I start to get into it. And I used to actually watch, in lieu of being forced to march tours at Virginia Military Institute, they used to let us go into the audience and look like people really were interested in the basketball team there. We were doing it for punishment. It was funny. The only school that ever happened at. But we used to have to watch the school games there. And Kyrie Irving, man, he's probably one of the best players I've ever seen at any level, just all around, and not having, huge numbers like 40, 50 points a game, but just some things that he does, it's just like when he came to us, and even when that guy got hurt early in the year and we were able to get that streak going, I don't even follow the Celtics, but the things I hear off the side, off the cuff from people about him now, it's like, where did this team come from? They're pretty special this year. But I'm more of a Patriots fan. Looking forward to what they're going to do. The Eagles are going to have to watch out for them, Tony.
The Eagles are the only team in NFL history to be the number one seed and an underdog. That's what happens when you lose your MVP quarterback.
Yeah, that sucked.
That's an interesting stat right there. That is really an interesting stat.
Yeah. But you figure, they had lost their MVP quarterback basically when they wrapped up the number one seed. So, the backup played 1.5 games decent and then 1.5 games like crap. And but the amazing part is, the only game they lost out of those was the meaningless week 17 game when they put basically all their third stringers in. So, hard to say.
How about, did you see Marcus Mariota catching his own pass to himself?
I did not, I had heard about it. I had actually missed that part of the game.
That's probably one of the craziest plays I've ever seen in football. He throws the pass. Of course, it's a goal line situation. The defender jumps up, blocks it. He jumps out of the air, grabs the pass, hits the pylon with it after he catches it, and it's a touchdown. Catches his own touchdown pass. Deflected off somebody else, but, the only better thing is if he lobbed it up really high and then ran in and caught it himself. That's just really the only better way you can do it.
One big joke was back the old vignette they used to do in the late 80s with the one wrestler, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig.
Oh, yeah.
He would look at everything, but one of them was he would throw a pass and then you'd see a clip of him running and then catching it like he caught his own pass.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, he was the one that got me trying to do the behind-the-back basketball. Hit him in the net, because he used to do it. And you could obviously tell somebody was catching it above the net and dropping it right in, swish. Yeah, it's funny. Or they were doing 72 takes to get it to look like he got it every time.
I still sometimes will spit my gum out and try to whack it with my hand.
Anyway, any other predictions or thoughts about the new year for you guys before we wrap it up for the night?
Here's my prediction for the new year. And I don't want to steal any of Tom's crystal ball this away, but my prediction for the new year is that fights are going to happen, people are going to make money, people are going to bitch, and there's going to be bad decisions.
Whoa. I don't know if you could go wrong there. sign him up for a spot on the psychic line, Tom. It's like when I read my horoscope, it always says something about finances. Yeah, my finances are having issues. Yeah, no shit. Tell me something I don't know. It was like that even in high school when I didn't even have to worry about finances. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
That's always a part of it. So you start off in a general thing there, and then you let the client kind of guide you where you're going. And then you like money, don't you? I'm such a nasty.
No, I hate it.
All right, Tom, how about you? What do you think is going to happen this year? North Korea is going to nuke us all?
Well, I just get the feeling that history could repeat itself in Las Vegas again, because apparently Canelo's management saying that's where the rematch is going to be. And here we go again. They don't want to budge out of Las Vegas. And I wouldn't either. I mean, De La Hoya is doing a smart thing for his fighter. But apparently, from what I'm hearing, they're insisting it's going to be there or it's going to be nowhere. So Triple G will have to go through this again. And who's to say there won't be another? I mean, I don't know. I'm still a little bit emotional about that whole thing. But yeah, I'm going to tell you on that one.
Did they have to say anything about
what?
A potential date?
Well, I just heard today that they're on the verge of signing it, but I didn't get to read the article because I been swamped on other things.
I heard they were on the verge of signing it, and I heard that Vegas was the front runner again, and I didn't see anything about a potential date.
Well, if they're on the, I mean, I know, you know, how Canelo likes to fight on Cinco de Mayo.
That's what I was hoping.
And if they're on the verge of signing, because I'll have to check Boxing News, I get it, and I don't think I've deleted it yet, so I think that's where the article was. I just haven't had time to read it. So I guess that would be the date, but I mean, it just seems like it's such an obscenity to have to go through this with the Nevada State Athletic Commission again. I mean, one day, it's just on and on and on, and there's just no consequences. Adelaide Burke could be a judge in the rematch. Why would they? They could put her in. As far as their attitude is, they have few fans. We do what we want. And you'll just have to sit here and eat this big plate of slop we're putting on your plate. Eat it. And we'll do it. And they know it. And it could be the same exact thing happen again. Oh, boy. Boxing can snatch the feet from the jaws of victory.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Conor McGregor 2 is going to be the main event on that one.
Mayweather's calling for a rematch. McGregor's calling for a rematch, and he says how much better he would do. I don't know if they could go with that one. I do get the feeling Conor may not be done with boxing yet.
No, I don't think he is either.
You don't think he is, or you heard?
No, I don't think he's done with it. I think the money is too much of an attractant.
Right.
And I think he's literally going to fight out his UFC contract and then just box once a year.
And I'd have to think that Khabib is a bad matchup for him. Khabib may be a bad matchup for anyone in that weight division.
He's already got potential opponents. I mean, Floyd will definitely come out of retirement for another fight. Paulie Malignaggi is waiting in line. That's an easy fight
for Fanny.
An easy fight for Conor.
Don't tell me that couldn't draw, because the Filipino fans are fanatic.
Manny wants to fight him, and he might even get slapped with a fine for trying to talk to him.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I just have that sense. Maybe I'm wrong, but I get the feeling we may not have seen the last of Conor in the boxing ring, and I think looking at that Khabib thing, Conor has to be thinking, how am I gonna stop this guy?
Yeah.
I know he hits hard, but Khabib so far has a chin of concrete. And going into that fight, he was, 24-0, 8 wins by decision, 8 wins by knockout, 8 wins by submission. So, Conor's going to have to be doing a lot of thinking about that. And if he can make a lot more with the Mazzanellis, and I don't see a rematch with Floyd. But then again, hey, didn't the three of us sit here and say about a year ago, well, that's probably not going to happen with McGregor and Mayweather. It's probably going to happen. Well,
Yeah.
Guess what?
It happens.
And anything's possible, but I mean, I know Pacquiao would like to pay Dave.
Yeah.
And, and with Pauly, I mean, talk about some good trash talk there. It would be maybe not the greatest style matchup, but then again, I think a lot of people would think McGregor would have a much better chance against Pauly than he did against Mayweather. So,
well, true.
I just kind of get the feeling, I guess, that'll be my overriding one for the year. And we'll see.
And then I'll box CM Punk on the undercard. I'm trying to get him in anywhere I can. CM Punk, you owe me some money. I'm promoting for you. Trying to get you another fight in the UFC any way I can.
I don't even like the guy, because he said he was going to, if he was going to stick with MMA, he was going to get down to the smaller shows, try to get some experience. But I haven't heard anything about him doing his second fight.
Yeah. I'm going to officially start the rumor and act like it's a real story, like I did with Joe Rogan leaving the UFC that one time.
Yeah.
That was funny. Joe Rogan actually had to write about that. That was one time that I actually listened to a source and didn't get the right information. Put it out there that he was, like, leaving the UFC, had a big fight with Dana White. But the fight part was true, but he didn't give his 2 weeks notice or anything like that, or that's what he said. But after I wrote the story, it got like 86,000 hits in one day on the old unlimitedfightnews.com, and Joe Rogan had to come out and deny that he was leaving the UFC because of my story. And I could have met him after the fact too. And we had Joey Karate, remember him, Tony?
Yes.
He used to do
the
UFC picks.
Fast, right?
Joey Coco Diaz, he's like a top comedian now. It's a big deal out there.
It's a grudge match, right?
Yeah. Joey, he's actually lost some weight, too. But Joey Karate graduated to better things, and then I go to a live Joe Rogan show in Boston about 5 or 6 years ago, and there's Joey Karate leading off the show. Jeez, I got that guy's phone number in my computer at home. I could have called him if I'd known he was going to be opening for Joe Rogan. I could have been backstage and laughing about the whole leaving the UFC thing. Funny. Anyway, we'll meet him on another day, I guess. Find a way. But until next time, guys, I think that's all she wrote here. We'll have a lot more to report on next week. I'll have my laptop back, so we'll have full studio mode in action. Might even have some sound effects and some audio clips to jazz up the show. We'll try to make it interesting anyway. Adios.
All right, we will talk later.
Hi.
Go Patriots.
Go Eagles.
I had to check to see if Tony was still on the phone now.